How is everybody doing these days? This is Pastor Tim coming into your home or wherever you are, live at this point. But we only have about like six more days of this distance, what do they call this? What do they call this? Social distancing?
Yes.
That's kind of what it's called. And hang in there, everybody. We're also kind of working on something new called Zoom that maybe you can see my face and also Bob's here as he plays. He's here with us tonight just to add a little extra as we learn in this process known as being shut down for the coronavirus type of a thing here. I just want to remind everybody that some prayer requests. Our Karen Dawkins' friend, she has a husband by the name of Gary who had triple bypass and AFib, and he's doing well. He has had that surgery already. He also has a grandson with a torn ACL, so that's just kind of a prayer request for Karen Dawkins' friend and people that she knows in her life. Curtis Jazz and Marlene. Curtis is doing well from his surgery for his rotator cuff. Continue to pray for him and Marlene during this time. And then we got Terry Dirks, whose dad, Roger, who is down in Texas, that she is still dealing with him. Just want you to know, too, that I did see the white eyes, the white of the eyes of the famous Jeff Kyle. He is back with us from Mexico and had a good time with him yesterday. So those are just some of the things that are happening, making you aware of. And we're just gonna be learning things as time goes on here at Harbor of Joy as we do some of this new 21st century high-tech stuff. And eventually hopefully become very natural and very normal. So if you hear a little echoing in the background, it's because there's no one in the sanctuary except for Charlie and for Bob and myself. So I just want to begin with a word of prayer before you hear from Bob to give us the countdown on Lent service that we missed out on last week. And we're doing something different here today. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that are listening, those that are part of the Harbor of Joy family that have gathered together here this daytime or afternoon or evening, whenever they are listening to this. Lord, we just pray that you'd use this Lenten message that we will be hearing as well as the songs that will be played and sung as a way of ministering to our hearts and keeping our faces looking heavenward towards you and thanking you for what you've done for us by sending your one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. So, Lord, be with those that are listening and those that are not able to. We love each and every one and are grateful that we can still stay in touch this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Bob, what is the countdown?
Actually, Tim, the countdown will be at another time.
Okay.
But I'm glad that you did the promo for the countdown. But you and I are going to share this song together called At the Cross.
Alas, and did my Savior.
At the cross,
scripture for tonight in this Lenten service is John 19, verses 28 through 29. And I'd like to read that for us this evening. These are words of suffering. John 19, 28 to 29. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, that's important, that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. We left the cross last week when Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now these were words of anguish and abandonment, the time when God turned his back on his one and only Son. And also remember that darkness had fallen over the entire land from noon until 3 o'clock on that Friday. Now we look at that fifth saying on the cross. These words are different from all the other words that Jesus spoke on the cross. And I'm just going to do what the King James has translated, where Jesus says just two words, "I thirst." When you hear those words, "I thirst," do you see that these words are spoken with a dry and parched mouth? Sometimes I get dry mouth when I preach. Seems like my tongue swells three times its normal size and starts sticking to the roof of my mouth. Nerves, I guess. But here we find Jesus saying the words, these words from his lips, "I thirst." And his lips are rough and they're cracked. Because, my friends, we find no lip gloss or chapstick here for our Savior. He's hanging on the cross, dying for our sins. So once again, we see the human side of Jesus' suffering. Crucifixion is not only a very painful and slow death, but remember how much blood Jesus has lost, as well as the perspiration coming from him because he's hanging out in the hot sun, and his body is becoming dehydrated with the loss of body and of water. If you've ever been dehydrated, you become lightheaded, dizzy, physically weak, and you will want to lay down, maybe have a little bit of a headache, but you want to get out of the heat of the sun. Without enough water, your body begins to overheat. And if nothing is done, you will go into convulsions, and eventually death will follow. It's not too far away when you start having convulsions if it's untreated. The last time Jesus had drank was with his disciples hours earlier at the Passover meal. I'd like to read from Matthew 26 through 27 and 29. Matthew chapter 26, verses 27 through 29. Then he, Jesus, took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus spoke of another cup in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember? Where Jesus said, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Not my will, but your will be done." Jesus says this three times. He took with him three of the inner circle of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and asked them to pray as he went a stone's throw away from them. And he prayed before his betrayal in dark Gethsemane. The cup that was before him was filled to the brim with our sin. It is repulsive and nasty, to say the least. It is no wonder that Jesus says, if there is another way, I'd rather not drink it. But Jesus does say, not my will, but your will be done. The gospel writer Mark in chapter 14, verse 36 says, Abba. Abba is a word that means like saying daddy. It's very personal. And in verse 36 of Mark chapter 14, it says that Jesus is deeply distressed and he's troubled. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. It begins to show how much he was going through emotionally and mentally and even spiritually here in the Garden of Gethsemane. No one could drink this cup other than Jesus. He drank it to the last drop. Just think of it. Our holy Savior drinks the unholy sins of the whole world, including yours and mine. The Roman soldiers heard Jesus say, I thirst. Now, did they run and give him a taste of pure water? No. They went and they got a sponge, and hard to tell him where that sponge had been, what kind of a bucket it was in. But it was full of wine vinegar, which means a cheap wine, and it was very sour and very bitter. And they put it on a stick, and they pushed it onto Jesus' lips. Now, it was a common practice in that day to give a crucified criminal some cheap wine or vinegar that was mixed with a narcotic or a drug that would ease the pain. But Jesus did not drink from the sponge. In John, it talks about that they got a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Hyssop, does that ring a bell? Hyssop leaves or branch? It goes way back to the Passover in Genesis, in Exodus, where they took the lamb's blood, they took a hyssop branch, they put it on the door frames. And those of the family that went inside would not have to fear when the death angel would come. And the firstborn would live who was inside the house, but if you were not inside the house and the blood was not applied to that house, the firstborn would die. And that would happen to Pharaoh, who ultimately let the Israelites go. In Matthew 27:34, it says they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, Jesus refused to drink it. The Roman soldiers, when they got up to take that sponge, do not think that they had some compassion that came over them, were they going to do a good deed for Jesus. It was really a time of where they're going to torment him even more. Just think, Jesus refuses any comfort as he's hanging there on the cross. Earlier in Matthew, it says that the wine was mixed with gall, but also in Mark chapter 15, verse 23, it says that wine mixed with myrrh. Now, the myrrh that is mixed with the wine would make it even much more bitter. And the gall would be there's a drug or narcotic that was mixed in with this cheap wine that would be somewhat of a sedative or some pain reliever for the one who's being crucified. And Jesus denied this. It is as if Jesus is pointing forward or backward to the scripture to be fulfilled in the Old Testament. In Psalm 22, verse 15, it says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth." In Psalm 69, 21, it says, "They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst." There's a Jewish custom in Proverbs 31, verses 6 through 7, that talks about that wine is drugged with myrrh and was given in order to dull the senses. If a soldier would have offered Jesus water, it would not have fulfilled Scripture. It had to be some kind of sour or bitter wine vinegar with an additive for some pain relief of the one who was being crucified. As we think about these two words of Jesus, "I thirst," let's ask ourselves, am I thirsty for God? Do I thirst for God as great as I thirst for a glass of cool water on a hot day? Some people try to quench their thirst through alcohol, recreation, sex, money, and power, but they are never satisfied. Every one of us has a thirst of some kind in life. In Luke chapter 16, verse 19 and following, there is a story, a parable that Jesus tells of a rich man who lived in luxury every day, and there was a beggar who laid at the rich man's gate covered with sores, and he was hungry, and he would have dogs that would come and lick his sores. The two men who had two different thirsts of interest in life was soon to be revealed as both of them died. Lazarus, the beggar, was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man who lived in luxury every day was just as if he was buried and found himself in hell and in torment. He could see Abraham far away with Lazarus, the beggar that was parked by his gate every day, but Lazarus was by the side of Abraham. And so this rich man who is now in hell, he calls out to Abraham, "Have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Just think, hell is a place where a burning thirst never gets a single drop of comfort. Hell is remembering the living water that could have been received and was rejected on earth, that would have taken us to heaven to be with the Lord forever, where there is nothing but good things. Thankfully, Jesus suffered that we might be able to drink from the well of salvation. He endured the thirst of hell so that its fires might be quenched for us. In Revelation 7, 16 through 17, we read, "Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Jesus drank the cup of death so we could drink the cup of life. Jesus drank the cup of wrath so we could drink the cup of blessing. Jesus said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." John 7, 37 to 38. So there is an invitation in Revelation 22, 17 that says, "Come, whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Are you thirsty, my friend, for Jesus? Then come to the one who quenched the demands of the law and satisfied the anger of God towards you. Amen. I'd like to just have you listen to the words of this song that Bob and I will sing together. It is entitled, "For Those Tears I Die." Remembering that we drink a cup of blessing that blesses our lives because of salvation that you give so freely to all sinners who just come to you and admit their sin and ask for forgiveness. So Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given for us to be able to share together this way. And we just close by the Lord by saying the Lord's Prayer. Together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Be safe. And may God's blessings be on you all. In Jesus' name I pray.